Welcome to Creating a Family, talk about adoption and foster care. Today, we're going to be talking about using this time of shutdown to develop resiliency in our kids and our family. This is the fourth in a five-part series we are doing on surviving and hopefully thriving during the coronavirus shutdown. The first three were surviving being cooped up with your kids during coronavirus isolation. The second was homeschooling kids on top of everything else during coronavirus. And the last one was how to juggle kids, schooling, and work during coronavirus without losing our mind. And you can find those by going to our website, creatingafamily.org. Go to the horizontal menu at the very top of the page, hover over resources, and click on podcasts. Or the easiest way is just to subscribe to this podcast on whatever podcast app you prefer. If you're using an iPhone, there's a built-in podcast app from Apple, but there are others available. If you're an Android, there's lots of free ones that you can pick up at the Google Play Store. So just whatever app, and if you're listening, you may already have an app. Search for Creating a Family, talk about infertility and adoption, and click subscribe. And then you have access to not only the five-part series, but also all of our archive of shows that we've been doing since forever. Well, not forever, since 2007 anyway, which seems like forever. So hop on over there, subscribe, or go to the website and get it and enjoy. All right, today we're going to be talking about using this time of shutdown to develop resiliency. And we'd want to be talking about not just resiliency for our kids, but also for us and for our family, the family unit, the family system. We're going to be talking with Roxanne Thompson. She is a licensed professional counselor with the Institute for Attachment and Child Development in Colorado. Her expertise is in trauma, abuse, attachment disorders, and family systems. She has worked extensively with foster and adoptive families and serves as a national trainer. She co-founded Adoptive Family Resources, a nonprofit organization that provides post-adoptive services to families with children with psychological needs. And she currently serves on the board of the Colorado State Foster Parent Association and the Colorado Coalition for Adoptive Families. Welcome, Roxanne, to Creating a Family. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Resiliency is a topic that has always, it's always attracted me because it's such a hopeful topic. And that's one of the reasons that when we were thinking about what topics we wanted to include in this five-part series, we focused on resiliency because so much of what we're experiencing now feels like we're just barely able to survive. You know, that's how do we, just by the titles of the other series, coping, surviving, getting through, juggling. So what could we do how we could use this time, not to be Pollyannish and say everything is fine and if you just, you know, put on a sunny face, things will just be fine and there won't be problems. That's not our attempt. But we do want to focus on how can we turn this time into something, a time of growth for our families. And when we are facing adversity, which most families are facing right now, that is an opportunity for growth and for development of resiliency. So hence how we selected the topic and selected you. So let's start by what do we mean by resiliency? And does it differ in kids and adults? So what does it look like in kids? What does it look like in adults?
Well, I think for both children and adults, it's that ability to be able to bounce back from adversity, tough times, traumatic experiences. Children need more guidance. They need time to develop resiliency in most situations. However, there is some component that's biological, genetic, about resiliency because it's just like temperament, you know, those kinds of things. So that are just inborn. But in adults, hopefully, if you have children in your home, you have some ability to be resilient because you have to teach that to your children. Children are seeking that connection and help. And that I think that's the difference. Everybody wants to be able to bounce back.
Can resiliency be learned?
Yes, it sure can. Yes. And I think that that's pretty much the job of adults, parents, caretakers, foster parents, adult, you know, anybody who's dealing with children. You can teach resilience. And it's very important for success when they become older and when they become adults in the world, is to be able to have some amount of resilience, because none of us come out of this world unscathed. We're always going to have some adversity in our lives and things we have to deal with that are difficult.
All right. So what undermines the development of resiliency?
Parents, caretakers who do not promote the strengths of a child, inconsistency in parenting, inconsistency in attention given to the child, certainly childhood trauma is huge, because childhood trauma absolutely slows down development in every aspect of a child, from their brain development to their bodies, to their cognitive, to their social development. Everything is impacted by trauma.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the time that we're facing now, where families are under stress, parents are under stress, and children are under stress. We are all, every aspect, everyone in the home, with the, perhaps the exception of the dog, is under stress right now. So is this, so how do we utilize this time to this isolation, shutdown, stress to help our children? We're going to talk about all of the, the children, the parents or whatever, and the family unit itself. But how can we use this time of being shut down to help our children develop resiliency? And I thought it would be helpful if we broke it down by age. So let's start with the under five set, to the under children under the age of 5 years old. What can parents do during this time to help their children become more resilient?
The under five group, that's that time where children are still continuing to develop their attachment process. They're in their attachment process, actually three and under mostly. But, you know, when you are consistent with a child, you set good boundaries with the child. You know, a child of two or three still needs boundaries so that they understand the safety of the parent and that they will take care of them. And also teaches them by example that, okay, we're in a situation where things are a little different. Everybody's at home. We're all together, stuck in the house. Even a young child is going to feel that stress. And so checking in with that child, playing with that child, holding that child, reassuring that child that's under five, giving them opportunities to do things for themselves. You know, a 4 or 5 year old, three year olds, they're always wanting to do something for themselves. That's just developmental. Me do it myself. That's where that comes from, that 3 year old and on up. And helping them, you know, with projects and fun things to do, keeping them engaged, not just sitting them in front of a screen. So that real interaction, that contact, that communication is very important for the young children.
What about engaging them to help you around the house? One of the things that we all know is happening right now is there is more work to be done just to keep our system afloat here. What about utilizing your, now perhaps not your 1 and 2 year old, but your 3, 4, and 5 year old to help you?
Yes. In fact, I did a webinar last night for foster parents here in Colorado. And that was one of the things that I was kind of pushing them to do, because, you know, there's more laundry, there's more dishes, there's more of everything right now because we're in the house. And little ones can help you pick up. Mm-hmm. Little ones can dust if they don't have to knock something over that, you know, is valuable. Mm-hmm. They can help you in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, they can set the table.
Take the folded clean clothes to the rooms where they belong.
Absolutely. Any of those things that a child, that you know your child has the ability to do, there's nothing wrong with teaching them to do chores. That's being a family kid. Mm-hmm. If we're going to work together and we're going to be stuffed in a house for who knows how long, everybody has to cooperate and everybody has to pull together. And even the youngest of the younger kids can do a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of an untapped resource, I think, that parents don't realize that mm-hmm. you can teach your child to do some chores. Mm-hmm. And the younger that they learn to do chores and that's the expectation, the easier it is as they get older.
Sure. It's the idea that we are a family unit and that everyone needs to be working all oars pulling in the same direction or something along those lines, working together. And I know a family whose four-year-old empties the dishwasher. Now, there are things that are higher than she can put up, but there are certain things that she empties the dishwasher. That's her job in the morning. And when I heard it, I thought, well, gosh, I hadn't really thought about a four-year-old doing that. But that's in their family. That's what four-year-olds, that's one of the beginning chores. So anyway, and I'm sure it helps. It's actually a useful thing. You have to train them first. What about the importance of routine and consistency, predictability, I should say? Is that helpful for children in the idea of building resistance in our younger kiddos?
Yes. Routine, predictability, knowing what expectations are. At this time when we are in homes all together and people are working from home, kids are doing school from home, I have suggested to all the parents that I work with that you get a schedule that is really clear and concise and you follow that every day. Because if children understand that things are predictable, they have more confidence in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the minute that they're hanging out there and not knowing what to do next, they get concerned, they get worried, they need more support to be able to accomplish those things and feel competent mm-hmm. in what they do.
And there are some children by personality who, if there isn't a routine, is going to push the bound. They are going to push the boundaries. It's like they're going to create routine just by continuing to push and push and push. Why can't I watch a screen now? Why can't I have a snack now? Why can't I go outside now? Why do I have, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So if there is a consistent routine, you get a lot less of that because they know, all right, after lunch, we're going to go outside, or we're going to, our screen times are going to be when mom has her Zoom call this afternoon. So there's less need to argue constantly for when things are going to happen because they know.
Yes, and I talk about in a lot of the trainings that I do about creating an emotional box. And if you if you have a visual, which I usually am drawing, but you have an emotional box and the expectations are in within that box. And then children know what they should do. There's no question. Once they step outside that box, they don't really know, they don't have the skills for that. Mm-hmm. And as children gain more confidence, they gain more skills, we make the box bigger and bigger and bigger, and we put more expectations and skills and those kinds of things inside that box. And then that child really knows what to do in a situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that box has the connotation in our minds of maybe being stifling, but it's actually secure. It's giving security.
Yes, very secure.
All right. So we've talked about the under five kiddos and how to help them develop resiliency during this time. Now let's talk about our school age up to the tween years. How can we help that age children develop resiliency?
Okay. So that age, those kids love to build. They love to create. It's a very creative time in a child's life. And that goes from just building something with their hands, drawing, music, singing, dancing. They love all of that stuff. And when you can promote the strengths that a child has, their natural talent, they feel confident. They feel like, oh, I'm pretty good at this. And they can feel proud of themselves. So you're stuck in this house with this child who loves music. Okay, so get some activities that promote the music, or drawing, if they're really tuned into drawing, or building with Legos. It doesn't matter. You just check what their interests are and their strengths are, and you continue to promote that, and you do it with them so that, again, they have that anchor and they feel like they're supported, and you encourage all of the things that they know how to do best. So again, that translates in when I get out in the world, or I'm out there with friends, or I'm out there at school or wherever a child is, and something comes along that feels a little bit challenging to them, they have that self-confidence that they can dive into that because they know they have strengths.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is an opportunity to help our children develop competency in something. And it doesn't have to be in a skill set, a skill that is recognizable like cooking or drawing. It can be digging deeper into an interest they may have. Say they were always interested in trains. Well, this is an opportunity to learn more about trains, watch documentaries about trains. Could be baseball. Maybe they're fascinated by baseball, so you watch the Ken Burns documentary on baseball, and they probably can't get out and play baseball right now, but they can go out and throw the ball up and see how many times they can catch it. Competent children who feel competent are more resilient.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, some children just love something like, this is what I want to be when I grow up. So if a child wants to be a veterinarian and they're talking about that and they're 10 years old, you know, that we know that that could change, but there are lots of ways. There's lots of shows just on regular mm-hmm. PBS and about veterinarians. Get them tuned into those so they know what that's about. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a great time. Honestly, it's a hard time. It's a challenging time, but kids can really benefit from this lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with each of your children, find something. And, you know, I've suggested this before, but if it's something that over, if you can find a something that they're interested in, that you are also interested in, and genuinely interested in, not just, we'll talk about this video game, or we will talk about whatever. But something you genuinely could be interested in, and doing it together, it's a tremendous ego and resiliency boost for children to know that they and their parents share an interest in their learning together, and you're modeling to them how to be a lifelong learner.
Yes, absolutely. And again, there's that anchor. I preach all the time that adults have to be a child's anchor, so that they feel safe and they feel competent, and they live, and everything that goes with that resiliency. The parent needs to be there. The caretaker needs to be there to support that.
All right. So now we move into the teen years. So, and this is hard for a lot of teens because one of the developmental tasks of the teen years is independence. So now all of a sudden their independence is being somewhat stymied. And oftentimes a lot of the things that they have been involved with that would naturally be helping them develop resiliency and competency are at school. They might be involved in the band or on the yearbook. And a lot of that's on hold. Some of it's not, but a lot of that's on hold right now. So how can we use this time to help our teens develop resiliency?
Okay, so another piece of that, Donna, is that they also are very social at this age.
Mm-hmm.
And being social is extremely important for them. So thinking about them and their ability to be social during the lockdown is to give them those opportunities to reach out to their friends, you know, do Zoom chats or...
They're mostly going to be in FaceTime. They're going to do FaceTime. Yeah. Okay.
And they know all of those chats.
Yeah.
Probably better than the adults do.
Yeah.
Giving them those opportunities to do that. Also, if a child does play an instrument or sings or is in music, they can still be practicing. They can learn new music. They can get online. There's all kinds of tutorials about music. Or a child really is interested in physics. Oh my goodness. They can learn all kinds of things through Khan Academy. There's numerous websites that kids can learn and keep themselves interested. Okay. Mm-hmm. I really believe though that, and the comments that I'm getting from kids at this point are, I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand doing this online, although they really love being on the computer, but it's not doing school on the computer.
There's a difference.
Yes, there's a big difference. So they have to find a way to make it interesting. So their parents or caretakers need to find ways to make whatever they're learning to be interesting for them. You know, writing, making posters, things that they can take back to school and say, this is what I've done. I can turn this in and who knows, they could get extra credit. You just never know how that goes. But really just tapping in again to their interests. Documentaries are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A whole family could sit down and do that with even an older kid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, there might be a common interest in the whole family. They all like hiking. I'm from Colorado. They like hiking 14ers. Okay. So there's all kinds of things about camping and hiking and stuff. You know, you just never know. You got to kind of be creative. So keeping the interest going, I think, is the most important for teenagers. They tend to want to be bored and mm-hmm. complain about it. And believe me, I've gotten my share of that with the kids that I work with in the last 2 months. But also helping them see what they're thankful for. What are they learning? What is good about this? There's some bright spots here if we can help them see that.
Another thought with our teens is, if they are interested in something that particularly lends itself to being learned online, I'm thinking of photo editing or videography. There are some wonderful resources. One that comes to mind, but there are others, is lynda.com. Many libraries now subscribe to it, and the instructions there are absolutely some of the top. I mean, they're wonderful. And for just about anything from a technology standpoint, any type of digital graphic design, things like that, learning how to use new software, it could be very useful for them in the future. But again, we're coming back from a resiliency standpoint. A teen that is competent and feels good about themselves and is realizing that they're good at something, they've learned something they can put to actual use. And this time you could, because we're stuck with being online, another good opportunity, or stuck with being inside, online is a good, so there's a lot of online digital things that they can learn how to do.
And, you know, I mean, just like any of us, if we have knowledge, a lot of knowledge in our skill in one certain area, we feel very proud of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we can share that. And people look up to us for that. And they come to us for information. So again, that boosts that self-esteem mm-hmm. and that is one of the components of being resilient, is having mm-hmm. really high self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that you are competent, not just that people are giving you compliments for things that are undeserved, but that you actually are competent at something. And I think that we often as parents have a fairly narrow view of things that teenagers can be competent in. They can be competent in by playing in the band or singing or art. But there's so many things that our kids can become competent in.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's endless.
Well, yeah. We have the internet now, so it truly is endless. it could go on and on. So yes. Let me pause and remind folks that this show is underwritten by the Jockey Being Family Foundation. Jockey Being Family would like to connect with more adoptive and foster families, so please follow them on their social media platforms, Instagram and Facebook. And on both of those, they are at Jockey Being Family. And on Twitter, they are Jockey Being Fam, F-A-M. So connect with them on Instagram and Facebook at Jockey Being Family, and on Twitter at Jockey Being Fam. They also have a twice monthly newsletter, and you can subscribe to that on their website, jockeybeingfamily.com. All right, now we are talking about building resiliency, are using this time of shutdown as an opportunity to develop resiliency in our children. And we're talking with Roxanne Thompson. She is a licensed professional counselor with the Institute for Attachment and Child Development in Colorado. Now, we've spent time talking about how do we help our kids develop resiliency. And I think as parents, it's always more comfortable to be focusing on how we can help our kids develop this trait. But the truth is, we're not too old to develop resiliency in ourselves. And it may feel a little more less comfortable to turn inward and say, what am I lacking? But in fact, we could all use an improvement in our resiliency quota. So let's talk about how we as parents can utilize this time to develop resiliency.
You know, when I've been talking with parents during this time, there's a huge mix of feelings that are going on all at the same time.
Yep.
Some people are scared.
Yes.
Some people are anxious. Some people are bitter because they didn't sign up to be teachers. Mm-hmm. Some people just don't like the fact that they have to be stuck someplace because they're very social and they have lots of activities they've been used to. And I think that this is very hard for adults because they're so focused on their children at this time that they're not taking that time for themselves. And so I've been talking to people, the adults especially, about taking that time every day for some self-reflection, doing maybe some journaling about how you feel, because we are really good as adults of stuffing our feelings and not paying attention to it and just getting distracted so that we can not deal with whatever's going on with us in here. Because mm-hmm. as parents want to be totally focused on their children if they can be, but it will wear them down. And so they need that time for themselves. That would be resilience. That will promote resilience because they won't be so tired. They won't be so emotionally tired, and they can be able to cope better. Coping also is part of resilience. If you have good coping skills, you can be more resilient. Okay. And so also thinking about their own expectations for themselves. Talking to someone last night who was not feeling good about being a teacher, spending 9 hours a day doing the schoolwork, and she had no time for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, stop that. That's not going to get anybody anywhere at this time. The kids are going to be completely burned out. You're burning out. So everything needs to slow down a little bit. Expectations were too high.
Mm-hmm. And so you know, when our expectations are high and we're not meeting them, which is usually the case when they're too high, we feel like a failure. And feeling like a failure is the antithesis to resiliency.
Absolutely. Yes. So the expectations for ourselves and the children have to be reasonable. Okay. So they may change a little because of this time that we're at home and locked down, but they still have to be reasonable. And I think when parents can get some self-reflection going, that helps their resilience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tracy Whitney, our one of our content developers at Creating a Family, has a mantra right now of low bar, low bar. Set that bar lower. It can go lower. So and in a way, she's setting herself up for resiliency, because what she's saying is, okay, right now, yes, in the past, I had standards that were high, and now I'm not going to be able to meet those standards. My kids are not going to be able to meet those standards. The expectations of being silly when they go upstairs and talking when normally the rules are at bedtime, everybody is quiet. Well, some of those standards are going to have to be lowered a little. And we're going to all just kind of give ourselves a little grace during this time and feel less like a failure.
I also think that whatever spirituality you practice, you need to make sure you haven't forgotten about that, because that supports people in a deeper way. And so for parents not to get away from that for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And the things I would also add, the things that give you pleasure before, many of those on some perhaps looking different, but in some way can be also, you could still do them. You may not be able to play tennis with your friends, but you may be able to do yoga by one of the, and join in a Zoom yoga class. You can have your book club, but it could be via digital. And I know it's not the same, but those little acts of kindness that you're, and maintenance of normalcy, go a long way towards helping you feel less isolated, less like a failure. And both of those help you feel more resilient, help you be more resilient.
Yes. That situation of feeling so isolated will defeat people because there's more depression, there's more anxiety that goes along with isolation. And we know through research and just everyday occurrences that when people isolate, their mental health goes downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And so not looking at this, it's kind of changing your paradigm about being stuck in the house with all the kids. It's not a prison sentence. It is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to change the way that you look at things in order to keep your mental health intact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the signs of depression? Now, I think that a lot of people are stressed and worried now, so I think we could all be showing some signs of depression. But how should parents, when should they take action? What are the signs that would indicate that this is beyond what is to be expected during a stressful time?
Yeah, there's quite a few signs for adults. And of course, we all react to our emotional states in different ways. Wanting to sleep too much, being extremely irritable, just kind of having that fog where you just don't feel connected very well. Loss of concentration, loss of patience. Then there are people who like to stress eat. And so people are cooking and cooking and cooking and eating and eating and eating and not really paying attention to what they're doing. You know, if you're finding yourself wanting to drink a little more after the kids go to bed, that might also be a sign that you're getting a little depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting outside. not having that motivation to be outside, soak up some sun, some fresh air, not having the motivation to do the schoolwork with the kids, or any motivation, not having time with your spouse if you are living with a partner in your home, and kind of pushing them out of your life, not wanting to communicate. Those are all real signs for adults who are feeling that depression from this isolation.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to, you had said sleeping too much, I would also add inability to sleep. So it's sleep extremes on either way, I suppose, that could really, that can just work against you. How can you tell if your anxiety is getting out of bounds to the point where you need to be seeking some help to control it? Because this is an anxiety-producing time. Being anxious seems to me to be a fairly, not only natural, but a normal reaction to some of what we're hearing.
Yeah, you know, there are some ways first that you can keep yourself from getting so anxious. One is quit listening to the news 24 hours a day.
And let's throw in some social media on there. We don't have to be on social media as much either.
No. You know, check in once a day to your favorite news broadcast and, you know, check in to see what's going on in the world, and then leave it alone. It's not going to change that much in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And then focus on some other things that are more positive. Okay. So that will help you not get so anxious. When people are getting way too anxious, there's some signs that you need to pay attention to. One would be that you're avoiding things. You're absolutely avoiding doing what you need to do, getting the housework done, working with the kids, reaching out to your friends. You're avoiding any contact with other people because you feel so weird in your own skin. If you've ever had a panic attack, you feel like you're going to die. Okay. So when you're starting to get panic attacks, it's time to make a call to someone. If you're finding that you're just so anxious that you can't focus on things, it's time to talk with somebody. Anxiety will also make you very irritable and not want to deal with things. So, you know, you have your kids there, and how parents show up is how the kids are going to react to you. So if you're having difficulties, whether it be depression or anxiety, really reach out to somebody. There's really, I just saw that there's quite a few websites where you can, or phone numbers that you can call and speak to a clinician, mm-hmm. just for free at this mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. It's out there. It's pretty prominent, and people need to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. If you have your own therapist or your own pastor, make a phone call and get some reassurance and help. You know, it's a tough time, and to manage our own self-regulation is difficult. This is something none of us have ever experienced. Mm-mm. So, you know, we're all new at this. Mm-hmm. Even therapists are new at this.
Yeah. Yes. You know,
we're all struggling through it just like everybody else is. So, yeah.
Contact your insurance company. As you've just pointed out, teletherapy is, if there's going to be some positives that come out of this, I think the acceptance of telemedicine in general is going to be a huge boon, and teletherapy is one part of that. And so reach out to your insurance company, because many of them have teletherapists that are either within network, and then, as you pointed out, there are some free or low cost ones. All of this might well be available, so something for you to reach. And if you're concerned about the cost, which most of us are right now, both free, but also confirm with your insurance company.
Yes.
It occurs to me that we've talked about with children that using this time as an opportunity to learn something that you've wanted to learn. For parents, it's a little harder because oftentimes this is not a time of extra time. This is a time of less time in their lives. They're balancing homeschooling their kids. They're balancing more cooking, more cleaning. And for if they're fortunate enough to still have a job, they're doing all this with working from home or even having to, if they're considered essential, having to leave and then work and then coming home to all this. So they may not have extra time. But if they find that they do, this would be a time to get back into a hobby. I know quite a few people who have started knitting again. And there's beginning knitting groups that are forming online for people to get together. And I'm sure there are many other hobbies as well that have their online components now. So something to look into.
Yes, yes. Dust off that guitar. Yeah. You haven't played in 10 years.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, that'd be a great one. Actually, I should do that. Yeah. This show is brought to you by the generous support of our partner agencies. And these are agencies who not only believe in our mission of providing unbiased, accurate pre- and post-adoption and fostering education and support, but they've also believe in it to the extent that they're willing to put their money behind it. And it is that their support that allows us to bring you this show as well as all the resources we provide at Creating a Family. One such partner agency is Children's Connection. They are an adoption agency providing services for domestic infant adoption and embryo donation and adoption throughout the U.S. They also perform home studies and post-adoption support to families in Texas. And we have Adoptions from the Heart. They were founded by an adoptee and are celebrating 35 years of bringing families together through adoption. They are a full-service domestic infant adoption agency specializing in open adoption. You can see adoptive parents and birth parents share their stories on their TV, which is AFTH-TV, airing Tuesday mornings, and you can get more information about the episodes by following Adoptions from the Heart on both Facebook and YouTube. And that's where you will be able to see AFTH-TV. All right, so we're coming back to talking about how we can utilize this time of enforced isolation and shutdown to help ourselves and our children develop resiliency. But it occurs to me that the other part that we are left out is the family unit itself. Now, I know resiliency is a term that is utilized for humans, but how about human systems such as families? Are some families more resilient than others?
Yes. Speaking with families and parents and bringing the family together is doing activities together, doing projects together. You know, it's not all going to be about work. It's not all going to be about school. It's not all going to be about chores. There's got to be some time in that balance. And balance is an extremely important word right now. Mm. That everyone has to find some balance in their lives. Kids do, the adults do. So if you find that time and to balance some of the family interaction, you know, put in a movie and pop some popcorn. Everybody sit around in their blankets and watch a movie together. Play board games, do jigsaw puzzles, you know. Maybe you're good at doing woodcrafting and get everybody involved in making something together. Even the littlest kids can do that. Mm-hmm. They can hand you nails. They can, put the trash in the trash can. There's all kinds of things that you can include the whole entire family. Also, again, your spiritual time needs to be a time where you have that together. Many, many families, you can't go to church or you can't involve yourself outside of the home, but almost all services of any persuasion are on the internet. Mm-hmm. And probably your own church or affiliate, a religious affiliation, has something going on the internet. That's really important stuff. Exercise together, get outside, do things where you are playing together. Play is a really important thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even adults need to play. They don't think they do, but they do. We never outgrow having the necessity to play.
And that strengthens play. A family that play, I'm a big believer across the board, and the family that plays together is a strong, healthy family. And never could that be more true than right now. And play can look like different things. Not everybody is a get on the ground and roll with the kids type of parent, and that's fine. I recently heard of a family that the dad was had watched movies a lot as a kid. So he is exposing his kids to all the classic movies that he grew up with. And actually, it turns out that his father had showed him. I mean, they're going back to really old. And the kids are probably watching, quite frankly, more TV than they've watched before. So there's a certain amount of thrill with that. But they're all getting into it. And so that may not be the most active form of play, but it is certainly bringing that family together and bringing them all a lot of joy.
Yeah. I have a foster parent that I've known for years, and she's also adopted, and she's single, and she has most of the kids in her home have special needs. And she did the most brilliant thing. And this is one way that you can pull the whole family together. She made an obstacle course in her house with tape on the floor. And the kids had to go through all the house, throughout the house, doing different things, crawling on their belly, crawling underneath tables, doing push-ups on the wall, doing all kinds of things. And to include, that can include the little kids, the middle-aged kids, the teenagers, and the teenagers could actually create those.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm going to say the adults should be doing it as well.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Kids love to see an adult on their belly trying to get under something. And it's also a good way of showing our kids that I might not be very good at this, but I'm still going to have fun doing it. I don't have to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. So cooking together, you know, make a family cooking day, you know. Anytime you can include everyone in the family in an activity, you're going to be more bonded and attachment is going to be stronger. And that resilience is built right into all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that is it is so powerful. Playing as a family, learning as a family, and not having our expectations so high for what it means to play and what it means to learn. It doesn't have to be all highbrow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let us close with some tips that we can leave for families. Much of them we've already mentioned here, but if you could just throw out some tips that you would think that families should think about for during this time to help each member become more resilient in the future.
Well, I think because we're all closed up in our homes, we need time away from each other. And that is not easy. It's been beneficial for children to have some time, maybe some room time,
mm-hmm.
Every day so that they can take a nap, or they can play with their Legos, or they can read, they can write, they can do whatever it is, but they get some of that time alone. It also gives parents breaks when mm-hmm. children are kind of quiet, doing something away from everybody else. It also keeps siblings from getting into too many squabbles.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody needs to watch how patient they're being, how tolerant they're being, how forgiving they're being. Okay. getting enough rest for everybody in the family, eating correctly, getting enough exercise, doing family activities, don't set those expectations too high, and look at this in a, as a positive instead of a negative.
And that's not the same. I go back to saying of being a Pollyanna and pretending like there aren't some negatives. It's saying that don't focus only on the negative.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Stay away from the television.
Yeah. Amen to that one. Well, thank you so much, Roxanne Thompson, for being with us today to talk about how to use this time of shutdown to develop resiliency in our kids and in our families. To get more information about the Institute for Attachment and Child Development, you can go to their website, instituteforattachment.org. You can also get more information there on Roxanne Thompson. Let me remind everybody that the views expressed in this show are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of Creating a Family, our partners, or our underwriters. And keep in mind that the information given in this interview is general advice. To understand how it applies to your specific situation, you need to work with your adoption or foster care professional. Thank you for joining us today, and I will see you next week.